Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Though we may be quiet and reserved most of the time, for many of us, there are things that stir us up. Hot buttons that bring an emotional response from us. Things that we are passionate about. For some of us, it might be social or political issues, injustice or abuse. For some, it might be discrimination or inequality, criminal offenses or violations of basic human rights. But for others, what stirs them up, even to the point of violence, is just hearing about Jesus Christ. Just the mention of His name can unleash a hostile response that seems to be excessive. Until we realize that it is not the actions of Jesus. It is not His lifestyle. It is not even His personality that they object to. It is His words. Because in His life, He was compassionate, wasn't He? He was kind. He was full of love for people. He helped everyone. He healed thousands and thousands of people while He was here on this earth. And they would even concede that His death was an act of great selflessness, an example for us to follow. But what stirs them up? What sets them off are the words of Jesus. His words cause many people to explode with anger and to even curse His name. And why? Why is that? Well, I think it is because no matter how difficult His words were to hear, no matter who He upset, He spoke the truth with fearless integrity, ignoring how unpalatable His words might have been to those around Him, because He knew that they needed to hear those words. But His words can be upsetting, can't they? His words can be convicting. And while He was in a synagogue in the city of Capernaum, we're told in John chapter 6, the words that He spoke caused resentment. They caused anger among those who already hated Him, which is no surprise. It's what we would expect. But perhaps what we are surprised about is that His words caused resentment among those who claimed to be His followers. And those words of Jesus became the turning point in the lives of those people. And why? Why was that? Well, it is because that what Jesus spoke about, what He demanded, what He required of those who would follow Him, disappointed them. It disappointed them because even as He spoke, His words seemed to intensify and solidify His demands of them. He demanded more than what they were willing to give. Well, first, He claimed to be the bread that came down out of heaven, the source of life, the only one who could satisfy the longing of our soul, the only one who could give rest and peace with God. Well, and so those who hated Jesus were the first to speak out against him. They grumbled among themselves. They murmured against him. They were offended by his words. He claimed that God was his father, making himself equal with God, claiming to be God himself. And if that wasn't enough, he claimed to have the authority and the power to give them eternal life. And how would he accomplish that? Well, he said he would offer himself up to die for them. He would give his flesh. He would give his body. He would give his life as a sacrifice for them in order to give them life. Life that was available to them. If they would come to him and believe in him. And he used a metaphor, a picture, a comparison of eating his flesh as a way for them to visualize, as a way for us to visualize our need to take him into our hearts. To take him into our lives, to receive him just as we take food into our bodies. Well, his words caused a heated discussion among the people, we're told. Verse 52 of John chapter 6, we're told that the unbelieving Jews began to argue with one another. Ma'omai in Greek. They began to wage a war of words with each other. There was strife among them. What could these words of Jesus mean? Some may ask the same question today. Some were saying, how can this man, houthos in Greek, how can this fellow, this nobody, give us his flesh to eat? This sounds ridiculous. But they should have known that what he was giving them was a word picture. Just as it says in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, where the prophet is said to have eaten the word of God, he digested the truth, and he took that truth into his heart. Well, that was a picture, wasn't it? And Jesus was giving them a picture. But the people weren't interested in understanding the truth. They didn't want to understand. They didn't want to believe. And so we are told that when Jesus heard and he saw their willful unbelief, what did he do? Did he back down? Did he tone it down? Take it down a notch? Did he soften it up so that they would listen? Well, no, we're told in verse 53, he intensified his words. And he said to them, truly, truly, I solemnly testify to you that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of God, unless you drink his blood, drink his blood, unless you do that, you have no life in yourselves. Without Christ in our life, he was saying, we have no life. Life is found only in him. Well, we may have physical life, But without Christ, we are still dead in our sins. And so we have no spiritual life. We are spiritually dead. So Jesus said in verse 54, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, the one who values me, the one who embraces my death, understanding that it is essential for the salvation of your soul. The person who does that has eternal life, not just life here on this earth, because death is not the end of our life. In Christ, our life goes on and on forever in heaven with him. And these words of Jesus were, and I suppose they still are, a stumbling block to many people today. What we are told in Galatians 5:11 is the stumbling block of the cross. We trip over these words. We stumble over this truth because many people still refuse to believe that the death of Christ is the way, is the only way that we can have life, the only way to eternal life. There is only one way. There is only one road to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in verse 54, of those who would trust him as their Savior, he said, "I will raise up that person on the last day." Because despite what people believe, there is a resurrection from the dead. Some are raised to eternal joy. Some are raised to eternal suffering. And this is our hope. This is our only hope. We know we are safe and secure in Christ. "For my flesh," Jesus says in verse 55, "is true food, and my blood is true drink," aletheis in Greek. It is real. It is genuine. Jesus gives us the very life of God. God himself living within us. So he says in verse 56, whosoever will eat my flesh and drink my blood abides in me. Meno in Greek. That person remains and stays in me and I in him. We have a permanent bond. We have a permanent relationship that will continue forever. And how can Jesus make these claims? He says this in verse 57. "It is because of the living Father, my Father in heaven. He has life within himself. He is a source of life. And when he sent me to this earth, while I am here on this earth, I live because of the Father." But Jesus added, John chapter 5, verse 26, "Even as the Father has life within himself, so he gave to the Son to have life within himself." Jesus has life within himself. Life that he is willing to give to us. So Jesus calls upon us to believe his words. And so he says, "He who eats of me. He who abides in me, he who receives me by faith, he who believes that my blood, that my death has taken away his sins, shall also live because of me. This is the bread. I am the bread, he says, which came down out of heaven, not as our fathers, not as our ancestors ate bread in the wilderness and died. But he who eats this bread shall live forever. And these things Jesus spoke, John points out in verse 59. He spoke these things in the synagogue as he taught in the city of Capernaum. And John points this out because there was a crisis that was at hand. Well, because at first we know the unbelieving Jews grumbled against these words of Jesus, but then we're told in verse 60, many of his disciples, mathetes in Greek, many of his followers, those who professed to be his followers, when they heard these words of Jesus, they said, this is a difficult statement, skleros in Greek. This is too harsh. This is too offensive to us to accept. We understand what you're saying. It's just too much for us to take in. Who can listen to it? They're like many people today. They wanted a Jesus who would fit into their own lifestyle. They wanted a Jesus who would provide for them, but who required nothing of them. And so they revealed their unbelieving hearts. And Jesus, conscious, knowing within himself that these disciples, these followers, grumbled and murmured and were agitated at his words, said to them in verse 61, does this cause you to stumble? Skandalizo in Greek. Are you disappointed? Are you disillusioned? So what then if you should behold the Son of Man crucified and risen from the dead and ascending back into heaven where he was before? What then? Would you believe? Would you follow me then? Jesus is speaking of spiritual things here, because he says it is the Spirit of God who gives life. He's not speaking of the flesh. He says the flesh profits nothing. Ophileo in Greek. It is not useful. It is of no value. So listen to these words, he says. Words I have spoken to you because they are spirit. They come from the Spirit of God. They are life. They reveal who Jesus is. But a line has been drawn. A line was drawn that day. As it says in John 8:31, the true disciples of Jesus Christ continue in his word. The true disciples of Jesus embrace the enduring truth of the Word of God and seek to live by it. But, Jesus said in verse 64, there are some of you here today who do not believe. Pistuo in Greek. You have no faith. You have not put your faith, your trust in me. Oh, yes, you appear to be followers. You appear to be my disciples. For Jesus knew, it says, within himself. He knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe. Yes, those who had real faith and those who had no faith at all. Jesus knows. And it says he knew who it was who would betray him. Paradidomi, who would deny him, who would hand him over to be crucified. And John tells us he was saying these things for this reason, because he said, I have already told you, I've already said to you that no one can come to me as my disciple unless it has been granted to him, didomi, given as a gift from the Father in heaven. Strong words from Jesus. And we are told in verse 66, as a result of this word by our Lord, as a result, ek tuto in Greek, from this time forward, many, polus, a great many of his disciples withdrew. Apiso in Greek. They put this chapter out of their lives. They put it behind them. They went back to what they were doing before the time that they knew or followed Jesus. Does that sound familiar? Is that what has happened in your life? Have you abandoned Christ and gone back to your old life? They were not walking with him any longer, it says. Peripateo, they were no longer following his teaching. They were disappointed in him. They were disillusioned. And so they disappeared. They were gone. They turned their back on Jesus forever. Then Jesus turned to the 12 disciples, to his closest followers who were also known as apostles, special messengers. And he said to them, you do not want to go away also, do you? Well, Simon Peter, acting as the spokesman for the 12, answered him and said, Lord, Master, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And we have believed, and we still believe. And we have come to know, and we still know, that you alone are the Holy One of God, the chosen one, the sinless one. And Jesus answered them and said in verse 70, did I myself not choose you, the 12, as my closest disciples? And yet, even among you, there is one of you who is a devil, who is a traitor, who is not a messenger of God, but who is a messenger of Satan. Now, we are told in verse 71, he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for Judas was one of the 12. One of the 12 who walked with Jesus for almost 3 years, who heard his words, who saw his miracles, and yet who would betray him. As we're told in Matthew 26, 24, it would have been better for that man if he had never been born. But for us, for those of us who belong to Christ, that is not our fate. He alone sustains us. When we are weary, he refreshes us. He refreshes our heart through his word. He is the bread of life. But he is not only the source of life. He is the means by which we maintain our lives. We feed on him every moment of every day. And by his grace, he strengthens us through him who loved us and who gave himself for us through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.